from New York City, the survival capital of the world. This is Radio Doomsday Live. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. We have a very special show today, or tonight into today, into tomorrow, the next day of the first day of your life, I guess. We're celebrating the passage, or soon to be the passage, of the Mayan calendar. What is the whole fuss about the Mayan calendar? Well, it's obviously making a lot of waves. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of negativity also surrounding this date. So I want to make some clarifications, and then we're going to get into some predictions with two of the nation's leading psychics who will be on in just a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about an encounter that I've had with David Morrison. David Morrison is emblematic of the whole picture, the overall picture, and how NASA's been treating and the government has been treating this end-of-the-world stuff. David Morrison put out an official NASA video. He's an astrobiologist, very well-known and highly respected. And point by point, he tried to demolish the main points of people who feel that there could be some calamities coming sometime in the near future, not on December 21st, because nothing, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely nothing of an untoward nature is going to happen in terms of the environment, although every day there seems to be an earthquake somewhere or something happening, but it's certainly not going to be the end of the world. It's, at New York time, it would be 11 a.m. in the morning when we're officially into the end of the Mayan calendar and whatever we might be facing from there on in. But let me go back to David Morrison. David Morrison has been claiming to be very concerned, particularly about children getting the wrong idea about the end of the world. But here this man who wraps himself up with in this blanket of respectability goes on television. He goes on a show called The Young Turks on Current TV, which is owned by Al Gore. And he absolutely has the nerve to say, with absolutely no foundation whatsoever, just went it blank for a second. I guess it's the transition into the new calendar. He goes on the show and on Current TV's Young Turks show, and he asserts that without any evidence whatsoever that 25 million Americans are stockpiling guns and machetes. And machetes. Where is he getting machetes from? In anticipation of December 21st, 2012. Now, this guy has got to be brought to task. I invited him to come on my show to defend his position. Needless to say, he turned me down. But it's a highly irresponsible thing for a man like that to be saying. And I'm going to take them to task for it. I'm going to continue to take them to task for it. You know, NASA's covered up a lot of stuff. They've covered up the UFO extraterrestrial situation, and they keep on covering it up. Certainly they're in a position to know. They certainly know that their astronauts and Russian cosmonauts have seen UFOs buzzing around, these pulsating lights buzzing around the International Space Station. We know that we have official NASA video showing UFOs being fired upon by some kind of laser technology, apparently, above the Earth. And this has been going on for a very long time, without any apparent provocation, where we're firing on them, endangering, actually, it could be the beginning of a war of the worlds, ultimately, if this kind of nonsense continues. He also talks, of course, about life on Mars and the possibility of asteroids coming this way, and he talks about Planet X or Nibiru, which he claims does not exist at all and is complete fable, and he's absolutely wrong on this. A colleague of mine by the name of Tom Van Flandern was the chief astronomer for the U.S. Naval Observatory, and a long, long time ago, he made the official government announcement about finding Planet X or Nibiru and made front-page news at the time. Anyway, I don't want to get go on about Morrison. I could go on about him for a very long time, and we'd take up the whole show. I certainly don't want to do that. What I'd like to do is introduce my first guest, Jane Dougherty, who's a world-class psychic. She has appeared on the Learning Channel's popular show, Dead Tennants, and she just got off a cruise, a very unusual cruise that we've been talking about for weeks, which is the cruise to Atlantis, the Crystal Skull cruise to Atlantis. And she was in Mexico, and some very unusual things happened while she was aboard the ship. Welcome, Jane, to Radio Doomsday Live, and please tell us what you experienced on that. What was it, about a 4-day voyage?
Yes, 4 days.
Okay.
It began first with the Miami Circle in Miami, and there was phenomena that began there, where the moment that Flor de Mayo began a ceremony, if you looked up into the sky, you saw clouds moving almost fiercely across the sky at such a speed. And then after a few minutes after the ceremony began, the cloud formation began at the normal speed of it drifting in the sky. Also, Diego Rosales, who was one of the speakers on this cruise ship, a famous muralist, he saw a light shaft come down off of a building, like, or bounce off of it, and come right into the center of the circle. So it began that way. The next day, we boarded the cruise.
Well, let me just stop you for 1 second, Jane. Tell people, because they may not know what the Miami Circle is.
Okay, it's an ancient site, the Cuesta Indian site. In Miami, it's a big circle. There's holes that are covered up now that bored in. We don't know a lot about it. We just know that it's this ancient site, and some people believe it could be connected to Atlantis. But we were there to do a ceremony to begin this voyage to Atlantis. Now,
Diego Rivera saw a shaft of light. Did anyone else see that?
We don't know. We just know that he was speaking to us afterwards, and he and his interpreter saw the light come off of high up to a building right into the center of the circle. So, you know, there was a lot of people there. We don't know exactly at one point he saw this.
Sure.
Now, we boarded the ship the next day, and I think things to come were indicated first when I was on the ship, and it was leaving port. And as we were leaving port, now there was no rain in the sky. It was just the sun was setting, but there was a beautiful rainbow that appeared over the sky as we were leaving port. So then more things began. I think we did a ceremony on a top deck. There was about 20 people. Some of the skulls were there. My skull was there. And the ceremony was to send healing energy to Atlantis. Now, we were at the point where the ship was going in the channel that's between Cuba and Cozumel, which is supposedly where Atlantis is underneath the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were doing the ceremony, looking up into the sky, it was nearly finished with the prayers and everything, what you saw was a light go across the sky, and sort of like the clouds parted and this black light went across the sky. You could clearly see it was light, but the puzzle was that it was black. It was dark in what it was, but you could see the phenomenon.
I understand it was darker than the nighttime sky.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It was very unusual. And it was just at that point we had finished the ceremony for the healing of Atlantis. It was a phenomenon that was incredible. Now, to me, you know, you can interpret it a lot of ways, but one way I think you can interpret it is that it was a sign. It was a sign that something had indeed happened. I think it was perhaps a sign to let us know that we had released the negative aspect of what had gone on in Atlantis and changed that vibration, transformed it in some way.
I understand that there were seven ancient crystal skulls, including your ancient skull, Maya, on board the ship?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And there were some of them were present at the ceremony. I was there and a few others on top deck. Now, the next thing that seemed to happen occurred in pictures. Just before I was to go on and speak in my presentation, somebody took a photo of me. And the photo shows that there, it looks like an image of a man, a spirit entering me, and you see my face transform, like a process of transformation.
Jane, you were kind enough to send me that photo. I examined that photo, and it's a very interesting photo. My question is it possible that could have something to do with the camera itself, in terms of it being like a multiple exposure or something along those lines?
I don't think so, because if you look at it, if you look carefully at it, you see the face is transforming. And what had happened is, right after that occurred, that picture was taken, I spoke. And then what happened, as I was speaking, doing a demonstration on the power of love, my stomach expanded, which I knew a spirit was present with me. So it probably entered me, but didn't show in my normal way until I was actually speaking. So it was like a combination of things that happened. And then I'm sure you probably saw the other photo, too, I sent you, was a photo was taken of a painting of a man and a woman.
I saw that picture. It's an interesting picture. It's an interesting picture. I don't know exactly what to make out of it. But it certainly is very interesting, unusual. I can't say with any degree of certainty that's an alien head there in the place of the man's head in the painting with a woman, but it it would certainly appear to be in that direction on first sight, anyway.
Yes, and I spoke with my son earlier tonight to show it to him. And he's a mechanical engineer and always very skeptical of these things. Mm-hmm. And he was very surprised. He said both photos were quite interesting. And I mean, over the years, I've shown him things because of doing ghost investigations. And he's able to scientifically give me, okay, no, this was this, that, the other thing, and something else. But this he clearly thought was very interesting. And especially you could see what looked like the alien head, and he questioned me. He said, was there any a possibility of it being photoshopped? And I said, no, because we saw it on ship right there on the camera, on her camera. So it was freshly shown to us immediately after she looked at it. But there was no chance.
Were there any other photos that were taken? Ken Morgan, who ran this cruise, special event, said that... that there was some picture, which I have not seen yet, of a gentleman, I guess, speaking. And
oh.
See, like, what appears to be flames below him.
Yes.
Or something?
Yes, yes. He said that I didn't see that photo, but he did, and it was absolutely incredible. He is attempting to get a copy. The new guardian of that skull is supposed to send him a copy of the photo. It's really incredible.
We're talking about things that are kind of a physical phenomenon. Certainly what happened in the sky was described by Ken as being very unusual, and it's certainly worthwhile finding out more about it. I think that there was some videotaped interviews done perhaps with some of the people who were there.
Yes, yes.
To see what they may have experienced. Which is all very interesting. I just want to give out our phone number. You can call us up if you have any questions for Jane. We're at 1-888-429-5471. That's Radio Doomsday Live. We're at 1-888-529-5471. Okay. Well, tell me some more about what went on there, and also. Besides what went on the ship, what went on in Mexico?
Okay, now, what I also felt that was very different about this cruise, it seemed as though there was a real feeling of a deep transformative experience for the people. I mean, I've been on to all four. This one was very different because the excitement was deep within, and you could tell from when we first got on the ship to when it ended and what the people were like. Everyone was experiencing a transformation of some sort. And, of course, we're looking forward to see what else may transpire in the next few weeks. Because usually...
I'm sorry, Jane.
That's okay. Kim
was mentioning something about that for whatever reason that there was some negativity on the part of some of the individuals who were on this ship.
Yes.
When people first boarded the ship, and that from what you're describing completely changed as a result of being on board and the whatever might have transpired.
Oh yes, definitely. The air of on the ship when we first was on, it was, you could see, you know, like people were not in their space. There was some problems, and then you can just see how everything just transformed from whatever that emotion was, anger, to really love and just a transformative experience.
What
it was,
some of the other passengers who weren't a part of your group? I'm sure there were lots of passengers on that ship. You had said about 125 people or 150 people on your section of it. What did some of the other people, did you talk to any of them? Or did they talk to you? Did they indicate, did they express themselves? Or they thought that this was crazy? Or was there any interchange between your group and the rest of the passengers on board?
I spoke to some people because they saw we had skulls. They saw what was going on. Mm-hmm. And we would explain what it was, but I didn't feel anything negative. In fact, there were times that Kendall had on one of the T-shirts about the crystal skulls. And, you know, people would ask, you know, what this was all about. And if anything, I think there was an air of excitement from people. But nobody mocked it. No one seemed that this was something unusual. I think they understood that we were there for a purpose of working, trying to heal something.
Yeah, but of course it was extremely unusual. I mean, people parading around with life-size ancient crystal skulls,
yes,
doing ceremonies,
yes,
and stuff. You won't normally find that on a cruise ship.
No, it's not what you usually find by any means. So it was interesting in that respect. I also see that, you know, you go through security, and you have to show the skulls, and it's kind of interesting because they seem to be getting aware that there are such a thing, because I had that going to the airport today. But then we went on to the Cozumel, which was an incredible place. The energy, you can just feel it when you were there. Now, as far as experiences there, I don't know if there was anything that was unusual, except that we found very strong power spots in which we placed the skulls. I put Maya in one spot. So there was, that type of an environment. Now you wait to see what might show up. Like after the 10-10-10, when I took a picture of Maya, that UFO showed up in it. So you wait to see.
Jane, there must have been like tens of thousands of tourists that have descended upon that city as well as adjoining cities for celebrations. Were there that many people there?
I don't think there were tens of thousands, but I think that there were certainly a couple of thousand people.
Right.
That were at Cozumel. You can see the buses going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of people there.
Let me jump from Mexico to what's been going on in other parts of the world with this transition into the end of the Mayan calendar into another age. There's been a lot of negativity. I mean, there were these school shootings, the school shooting that took place. There have been some other incidents around the country. They're actually closing 32 schools in Michigan based on rumors of that tomorrow's going to be the end of the world, or today is going to be the end of the world, which certainly is not. There's been, an amazing amount of that. And also the news media has been remarkably quiet. They've been doing some stories, but they've overall been remarkably quiet. I mean, if I compare this, let's say, to the Y2K controversy, they were covering Y2K for weeks before that computer turnover was supposed to happen that everyone was concerned about. And this thing, they've been laying very low on it, and I think that they're concerned about, that there would be panic.
I agree with you. I think they're downplaying it because they're afraid of bringing panic, especially what's gone on with the shootings, that they're fearful that there would be more and more panic. I agree.
Jane, what do you think is, you're a psychic, what do you think is going to happen today at New York time, 11 a.m.? Will we feel anything any different than any other day? I think, when you were on Radio Doomsday Live previously, you said that it might take some time for these vibrations to set in. Do you think that there'll be anything going on, after 11 a.m. This morning that will be, little unusual or a lot unusual? Do you see any kind of catastrophe anywhere in the world, even if it's on a small scale? It's certainly not going to be the end of the world. And I have been saying that from the very beginning when we started this show about 6 months ago. No one believes that. Nobody in their right mind believes that. What do you see happening today? What would the big story be about today?
Okay, I think that I see some sort of a disaster happening. I don't know exactly where. I'm trying to get a sense, but I feel as though we are going to have something to make us realize that there's more problems in that sense. But I think that most of us will begin to feel a vibration. At 11:11, I would think I would look up to the heavens at that point. I would look up to the sky, because I think even something like a cloud formation or a movement, something I think is going to be there for us to witness. But I think we'll begin to feel vibrations. It may be subtle for some and more pronounced for others. But I think that you will begin a more of a tug of war going on. Just because it changes, I think there's still a lot of dark and negativity that's going to fight not to leave, not to change its vibration. So you will have, some sort of repercussions that will go on for a few months until it's fully integrated and the light is fully here.
Okay, let me go back to what you said about the that there might be some kind of a disaster, nothing affecting the entire planet, but there might be something happening. Do you see any kind of an earthquake or any kind of a natural disaster occurring today?
I think there will be some sort of a natural disaster. And I also look, as I've closed my eyes to just take a peek at it, I want to go to Mexico. Is where I want to go in my thoughts of something happening there. Mm-hmm. Because it would be the end of their calendar and also affecting that area more than in other areas.
You think there's some kind of a natural disaster may happen in Mexico today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that the public is going to read that? I mean, that's certainly going to be something that would produce quite a bit of not only news coverage, but potential panic.
Yes, it could. But it's not going to be something that would, kill a lot of people, but some sort of an earthquake. It might even be just a 4 or 5 point earthquake, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. on a smaller scale.
A sign, basically.
Yes, a sign to show something happened or something to make us aware, to keep us aware of this darkness that's been there. That's what I believe will happen. It keeps us aware of it until the light is fully integrated. I really think as time goes on, we're going to have more sightings of UFOs. This is all part of what's going on.
No,
I mean, I received an email.
Yeah, there have been a tremendous number of UFO sightings, a wave of UFO sightings for some time now in Mexico. And also just here in Brooklyn, New York, there were some UFOs that were seen and photographed, got into the papers. I've been predicting that today specifically, I'm not a professional psychic like you, but I'm predicting that that there will be a wave of UFO activity and that UFOs will be seen in major world capitals, including most likely in New York City.
Yes, yes. And there'll be more and more of this activity. I did get an email from someone tonight who lives on top of a mountain in Pennsylvania, and she saw a disc, and it was hovering above where she is, and she's at the very top, and she said there was no sound, and she was just watching it, and then it landed someplace, but of course not where she was, at another part of the mountain. And, you know, her reaction was, oh, my God, are they coming to get me? Or are they looking for you, Jane? And I said, more likely to be looking for me. Or it's just a sign. It began when I was away.
Jane, who do you think these beings that pilot these spacecraft are? Do you think that they're the stereotypical short, gray beings? Or are they perhaps related to the Anunnaki, the more human-like beings from Planet X that I believe came down here and jump-started the human race by combining their DNA with ours, as Zechariah Sitchin has written about in about a dozen books?
I think we have a combination, is what I think that we do have. We have both. Both types are coming, piloting ships, and I also think some of them are already here. But that's what I think. And I also have changed my view in the sense of, you know, you talk about ETs, but I really have come to think more in terms that they're high spiritual beings. They're part of the spiritual hierarchy. We call them ETs. And some of them actually can be our deceased relatives. I know I'll probably get something on that one.
when do you think that they will be ready, and of course we will be ready to meet them? When do you think there might be an open? I mean, they certainly have been here for a very long time, but generally, what do you feel as far as an open landing, an official contact with the human race between an extraterrestrial race? When might that happen? Is that is that going to happen this year, or is it a couple of years off, or is it?
I think it's probably going to happen. It won't take longer than that. It'll be within a few years. I've gotten certain signs, and one of those signs, as I was told in 1996, is that I had to go to Egypt, and there's a whole, and I'm going to Egypt. Like, I've been given certain markers. But there's also been another marker I was given in 1996, before the crystal skulls were as popular as they are. Information that came through me is that when enough people were aware of the crystal skulls, that was a marker for them to know that we would be able to handle the landings. So now that there is such a interest amongst people who don't have ancient ones but are buying all the contemporary ones, I think this is what they're referring to in 1996. And I think we're there. We're very close. So within a couple of years.
You had some transformation take place in your crystal skull, which is believed to be maybe 3,400 years old. Do you think that, and there were at least, that I know of, at least four ancient crystal skulls from the event that was held here, the Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls event, which was held here in New York City about 2 years ago? Oh, okay, let's put them on, or her on.
Hello, how are you doing tonight?
Real good.
Good.
Do you have a question for either myself or for Jane Dougherty?
Yes, I have a question for either you or Jane. First, my name is Harold. I'm calling from Maine. I'd like to know how the UFOs and the crystal skulls fit into the Maya calendar. Don't get me wrong, I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow, but I'd like to know what the complete tie-in is between the two skulls and UFOs.
Yeah, okay. Tomorrow, today, by the way, we're talking about right now. 11 this morning, coming right up. Jane, why don't you do that?
The Mayans used crystal skulls for divining the future, for starting fires, for healing, but they believe that their nation was started by star people, and it also that they were from Atlantis. And the UFOs are connected to that because they believe that that's part of the way they came here is through the UFO contact. So they feel a connection to it. And my direct experience with it is that once the crystal skulls came into my life in 1987, the psychic ability opened up. I had a UFO abduction. That's when my stomach started to expand when I do ghost investigations. And I've had other experiences trying to hold Maya up when I was in Mexico in 1995 at the solar initiation ceremonies. We had 5 buses, and I was holding Maya out the window trying to, attract. And apparently the people in the back bus saw the UFOs. So they're all connected.
Does that answer your question?
Now we get the UFOs, you got the skulls. You're saying they're from the star people now. Are they also the Maya connected to the Hopi Indian nation?
I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I think it could be that they would have to have a connection. It could have been come from another planet.
The Hopis and the Mayans are very. Much in the same place when it comes to a lot of these questions. Okay, we need to move on. I just want to wrap this up with Jane Dougherty, who's been very kind to give us an exclusive report, really, about what happened on this Crystal Skulls Return to Atlantis cruise that just wrapped up just a few days before this. Transition into a new age, which we're about to experience, ladies and gentlemen. Jane, incidentally, is the author of a book called Awakening the Mystic Gift, The Surprising Truth About What It Means to Be Psychic. And she's one of the best ones out there, and I recommend her highly. If you want to get in touch with Jane, her website is www.janedougherty.com. That's www.janedougherty.com. It's been a pleasure, Jane, having you on the show, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Bye bye now.
Bye. And we're gonna give out the phone number for the rest of the show. It's 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. We're talking about the Mayan calendar's moment of truth. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen exactly at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And who knows what's going to happen. Jane says that there could be an earthquake in Mexico. It'd be amazing if that prediction comes out. She said that very few people will be injured, but that it will be a sign. So we'll see if that happens. And coming up in a moment is going to be another psychic, world-class psychic. Her name is Joan Cara. She's a friend of mine, and she made some incredible predictions concerning massive flooding that would hit New York. And sure enough, we know what happened with Hurricane Sandy. I want to welcome you, Joan, to the show. Joan has worked both as a clairvoyant and a medium for about 20 years, and she's included in about 5 different books, including the 100 Top Psychics in America, and as well as Psychic New York, and my own book, Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. I'll give myself a plug there. Anyway, Joan predicted in an interview that was published in the New York Daily News that New York City would be the target of massive flooding. And she repeated that prediction at an event that I held called the 2012 Doomsday Party to give a little levity to this subject that was held at a very well-known nightclub in Greenwich Village, New York, Kenny's Castaways. I'd like to welcome you, Joan Cara, to the show.
Thank you, Michael. I'm actually in 6 books, one that came out on Sounds True, which is, there's a lot of audio books and books in New Age called The Rational Psychic that just came out in October. So I guess it's also time.
We've got, on the bbsradio.com website, there's a really great photo of you, and there's also, of course, a photo of Jane Dougherty, my previous guest. Now, Jane is holding her crystal skull, and you're holding what I guess is a crystal ball?
No, actually, this is funny. Before I was a psychic, I worked for a Scottish company, and they gave me a very beautiful blown glass paperweight that to me looks like a crystal ball.
But I guess it works. It works.
It's just perfect for these photos. I do use crystals, but I don't actually do the crystal gazing. I just find I'm sort of like a no-nonsense psychic. The less paraphernalia I find when you take away, I don't read the tarot. I just read half a deck of playing cards or nothing. And when you take away everything, a real true psychic doesn't need anything. So, but we do love these. We do love the toys, but when you really
Joan gets around an incredible amount. I see here that you've done readings, psychic readings for Bette Midler's New York City Parks Restoration.
Yeah, that was a long time ago when I did a lot of events. She had one event. I didn't actually read her, but she put on an event that my party agent did.
Right. But you've done a lot of corporate stuff, Sony Music.
Yeah, I've done a lot of corporate things. It's been a little slow with the economy, but I'm focusing on other things now. So, you know, when your life changes a bit. I did want to talk about that Daily News prediction, and the one I was also in a magazine called Mystic Pop, and I also wrote an article for a paper in Greenwich, Connecticut. I wrote an article about global warming with my prediction. So in the Daily News, this is 2005. Now, I have been dreaming about floods for over a decade before I saw the film Inconvenient Truth. And these dreams were so I would be shaken by them. Let me just tell you, in the Daily News, we had they were interviewing about 5 psychics, and they basically wanted to talk about celebrity marriages and divorces, which I don't want to be a psychic paparazzi, that's how I say it. So at the time, they gave me a list of things, and I refused actually to answer any of the questions, and one was about, you know, Demi Moore and Ashton were just getting married, and I said, look, that's not really important. And this is my quote. Let me give you the date, October 6th, 2005. Okay. My quote is, I'm dreaming of floods, and I see them as visions. I think that's more important than who's going to get married or divorced. I think we need to pay more attention.
At this event, the Doomsday Party here in Kenny's Castaways, you performed a poem.
Oh yeah.
With this flooding.
I'm gonna get to that in a minute. So I just said I think it's more important that we look at the environment, but not one of the things that happened. This is October 6th, 2005. The next day, October 7th, for 2 weeks. It was nonstop rain, and it flooded in, not the big floods, but it did flood in New York in places that it never flooded. It wasn't massive, but it was a record-breaking rain.
Right.
And then, of course, I had in my other article, I was describing downtown Manhattan as Venice. I talked about flooding in Vermont, and I had the dream of the Japanese tsunami before it happened. These dreams were a good 10 years or 5 years before. More than 5 years.
When did you dream of the Japanese tsunami?
Well, you know what's interesting? You know when we had the first tsunami in Indonesia? I think that I saw a map, a before and after map of Japan. I saw like a video. And then I saw what the date, but the date I couldn't see, like on a video camera. Then right after that, we did have that other, the first tsunami in that area. And I kept saying to myself, maybe I misinterpreted the dream. Maybe this is, you know, my tsunami dream and not Japan. But I have a Japanese brother-in-law, so I really felt it was Japan. But I did see on TV they did the before and after map of the land in, I think it was Indonesia. And I said, that looked like my dream. But Japan and Indonesia actually look very similar. So I was trying to convince myself that I misinterpreted the area, but in my heart I knew it was Japan. So then it took years. So I can't tell you, you know, how long I was hoping these big floods and the flooding that I'm dreaming about would come, you know, 80 or 100 years, but it may come sooner.
Well,
that's what I worry about.
Right now, city and state officials are here in New York in the wake of Hurricane Sandy are talking about building a series of levees to protect New York City from the onslaught of the ocean. Ocean flooding, and it'll take, unfortunately, it's going to be extremely expensive, but besides the expense, it's going to take them at least eight years to construct these levees. Do we have 8 years?
Oh, yeah, I think we do. I think there'll be, there may be periodic flooding, but I don't think it's going to be, I do see, let's face it, there is water, ice that's melting. We can't deny that. We have, you know, a turning point with being serious about the environment. One of the problems is, you know, I looked at this. I said, I'm more of an environmentalist, but you can't control the developers and the will of the people. I kept thinking, you know, all the Jersey developed, they overdeveloped Jersey, and they made a lot of money, and I was thinking they really should ask these developers to donate to what's happening, except, you know, because for me, they're going to be the ones to redevelop Jersey, and that's going to be a lot of money that they're going to make. And I find that, you know, they ignored the EPA reports for 30 years, and they're still going to continue that. There may be a little bit of a few compromises, but people want what they want, and they don't care about long-range goals.
Yeah, it's always
and the
case.
Sensitivity and environment,
John,
and that's very hard.
Yeah, John, I wanted to ask you about Jane Daugherty's prediction. She thinks that today, literally that today, that there will be an earthquake in Mexico that she says could be on the Richter scale, maybe about a 5. Which is, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's certainly pretty substantial. Do you see an earthquake or anything of a physical nature happening?
No, I disagree with Jane, but like with psychics, a lot of times timing is off. I find it's actually a meditative period where so many people are doing prayers and meditation and looking at the vibration. So I think there'll be changes like that. We do have the earthquake, it'd be the NRA statement coming out tomorrow, which I think is interesting if it's at 11 o'clock. You know, that'd be something. But I think we're getting wake-up calls, especially for compassion. I was very moved when I got it's almost like, you know, we were talking about everyone's waiting for the second coming of Christ, but the message was love and compassion. And we're learning, you know, America can be it's a very schizoid society here, but waking up to compassion is really important. I was very moved by an email I got that is this, you know, people would, there's this teddy bear comfort, these teddy bears for comfort that they gave to people after Sandy, and the people in Far Rockaway who were getting this organization who gave them comfort teddy bears are now sending those comfort teddy bears to the people in Sandy Hook. So I thought that was kind of interesting that people had nothing, or whatever they got, they're giving away. And I think it's phenomenal.
Let me ask you about Fukushima, Japan. There seems to be continuing problems and serious ones concerning the what was a meltdown and what continues to be substantial activity and fallout, literal fallout from that site. Do you think that that is something that we should be really concerned about at this point? Is that going to present any kind of serious dangers to people living here, let's say, in the United States?
You know, I'm worried about, you know, everything is an illusion. There's probably radiation still seeping into the oceans and going deep.
Yeah.
That, to me, is something. And one of the things, when Jane did mention the earthquake, I do have a feeling with Mexico, and I've been there, and I've actually climbed even inside of Chichen Itza, which actually has jade from China. They don't know
mm-hmm.
how jade from China got there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Mexico is all cenotes, which is these holes of water. I think that's a very fragile area, and they're building the resorts all the way down to the tip. And there's a lot of development going there, but I just see collapses of land. So I do think things will be happening with earth changes. But before we go, I did want to read at least some of the poem that I had at your event.
Oh, definitely want to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, now, what I have to apologize to the victims of the hurricane. I did do it tongue-in-cheek and comedy-like, which will not be funny now. If I do it that way, so I'm going to tone it down a bit. But the words I said, this is written in 1990. I opened up with, beachfront properties will soon disappear, invaded by armies of water engulfing the land. Temperatures rising, greenhouse effect, glacial meltdown, sea level defense. There'll be no coast to fly to, because America will be an island called the Midwest.
Wow.
Temperatures rising, and then I repeat that, but then I go on to luxury cruise liners go condo, and neon lights light up the swelling Atlantic, advertising holidays at the Sheraton's Noah's Ark. Water, water everywhere. How'd you like to live on the Cuddy's Ark? When the oceans take revenge, you'll never be thirsty. Great dams will be bursting, and there's nothing we can do but plan for the future. And that's what I hope we'll do. Yeah, and that was 6 months before Sandy. And I couldn't believe it.
I was so shocked. That's why I wanted to have you on the program. I wanted to ask you before we wrap this up. We still have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you about a number of other issues that the Mayans are pretty well connected to. The Mayans believe, as well as a lot of other people throughout the world, that Planet X or Nibiru will soon be returning to Earth with all kinds of catastrophic consequences. Mm-hmm. There are arguments. We can argue about how long it's going to take, and of course, some people, like David Morrison of NASA, denies altogether. Even though NASA's made the government's made official announcements through the years, and there've been stories in major publications like the New York Times, the U.S. News and World Report, and lots of others through the years about the existence of Planet X, but they deny it now. Do you think that Planet X is on its way back here to Earth in roughly a 3,600 year cycle?
You know, I did read Stitchin, and he actually even met him once, but I'm not going to be able to predict that, but what I'd like to predict is this: some of the Earth changes I saw, whether it's from Planet X or just the environment.
I also want to ask you about, speaking about Earth changes, the most catastrophic scenario of all would involve a pole shift.
Hopefully we won't be around for that, you know.
Both the Mayans and the Hopis believe that this could happen, let's say in a general way, that this could happen within the next several years.
Well, some people told me that the scientists said it was 500 years, and that, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. For some reason, I just think
if it happens at all, it happens roughly every 2,400 years. That's a very big window of opportunity.
Right.
That's the saving grace about it.
Right, but I could say that there are things that are going to happen. I'm hoping it will be, it will take a while and be gradual. I did the dream that I had that was very upsetting to me, because every dream I had about floods came true, except this one.
Let's talk about the sun for a minute. Solar maximum that we're now in happens every 11 years, peaks in 2013. NASA scientists have been putting out statements every few weeks over the last several months that not only do they expect a substantial solar activity, but it's possible that these solar super flares could result in the power grid going down, which would be a terrible thing. It would plunge us back literally into the dark ages for months and maybe even longer, maybe even years. There would be no communication and no medical supplies and no food, transportation. Everything would be crippled. Do you think there's any that we have to worry about the solar flare coming toward Earth in the vicinity of 2013?
No. But I, you know, it's funny. Sometimes, and if these things do happen, we're not supposed to know. In one sense, you know, they can happen. I am a bit of a worrier, but I can't always worry about the world. I mean, I think for me, I get the flood dreams. I'm not getting the dreams about the solar flares, but I get the flood dreams, and that's all I could go by is that. I can't tune into the other thing because to me, I'm not connected to it. The dream that I had that was very disturbing was that I saw a before and after map of the United States of America, and the East Coast was very strong, and you know, I noticed how small Florida was. I happened to mention to a woman who's both a doctor and a psychic, she was tested as a psychic at Yale, and right. I described the map to her, and then she goes to her closet and she unrolls a poster. And she goes, is this the map you saw? I said, yes, but why do you have it? She said, a lot of people have seen your vision. It's called the I Am America map. It's from 1986. And I was so upset because, you know, I knew about Edgar Cayce, but this vision was so disturbing. And the flood, you know, going through my flood dreams and going through Sandy and then having that other dream, you know, I have enough things to worry about besides the solar flares. And I'm very connected to sunspots since I was a little kid, and I'll tell you a weird story about that. So I try to go to the positive because also as a medium, I hang out with a lot of people passed over. So I know even if we die in the physical form, there's life after. So I have to realize, yes, things can go terrible awry and the human being is so, you know, we just think everything's going to be the way we want it. Right. And they have been catastrophes before.
John, but, is this a situation, just, yes. I want to ask you, I know remaining yes. minutes, is this situation with the school shooting and the closing down 32 schools tomorrow in yes. Michigan because of rumors about the end of the world. Is this stuff going to subside, or are we ending?
I don't know. I hope so. That's a big question. I still think that I hate to say it, but I think there'll be another school shooting. There seems to be some kind of I told you before the show started, I was adopted by that town, Newtown, when I first moved to Connecticut. I was there many, many times as a psychic and also socializing. It's a town that just brings you in like a family, and you're connected to the whole town, and I'm just devastated. That's such a big question. I've been actually meditating. I heard something good would come out of this, and I think what's going to happen is that we will get some gun control. And I heard I saw this beautiful light. It looked like the crystal ball of New Year's Eve, and it blew up with crystals, and it shot up to heaven. And I saw the children smiling, and then I heard, the American people will defeat the NRA, and it will be a real democracy. And I think it's going to be people rebelling against the culture of the violence. That's what I feel 2012 is going to bring more of a shift, of that compassion, which we're lacking. We're lacking the compassion to the mentally ill because you don't have that.
2013,
access to
right?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen in 2013. I think
right.
for all this horrible, horrible trends and negativity, everyone's going to start to wake up and say, we have a crisis in our culture that feeds this violence. We have a culture where I've counseled many, many parents who had teenage suicides, parents who had mentally ill kids who cannot get help. We need to look at that issue. These are all the issues you're hearing on TV, but I think we're going to wake up and open up our hearts. And that's what I think is happening. So as painful and tragic as this is, these are angelic martyrs who are teaching us to say enough and do something. We can't be passive anymore. And I just feel that's what's going to happen. I try to look at the positive. You know, so if these solar flares and we all go back to the caveman days, big deal. You know, I'd rather be in the caveman days sometimes. You don't have to pay credit cards. You're living more simply and probably more spiritual. So that's not so bad.
Right.
You know,
now we're at the we're just about at the end, literally.
Okay.
Of the calendar. What do you think is going to happen of a spiritual nature? Do you think we'll be able to feel anything? Will we feel any different?
We're already doing that, Mike. We're already doing it. We're already talking about compassion. And that's always been the real revolution. We're already mm-hmm. talking about compassion. And I think, you know, we got shook up. I'm from Long Island. And, you know, I saw all these beautiful towns. And my sister, who shouldn't have been flooded, she's inland. They think JFK, they opened the floodgates. These are towns where people were well off. They're shaken up. Everyone's shaken up. Poor people are shaken up. But we're opening up. We're going, wait a second. All this stuff isn't important. We have to give to our neighbor. So isn't that a revolution?
Will we feel anything, though, like vibrations?
That's what we're going to feel. We're going to feel this. We're going to feel, I think we're going to start feeling. I think we already are. I'm going to two events for 2012, one Ascension Ball and then another one with a lot of meditation. We have to wear white on Saturday. So I'm going to do two events that I'm just going to go as a guest and look at the, you know, and celebrate that if this is an opening of a vibration, then let's go to the highest. We could choose. I talked actually to someone from Mexico. He said, it's a day to choose your vibration. Think of it that way.
What are those events, Jane?
Joan. One is called the Ascension Ball.
Joan, what are those couple of events you just mentioned?
Yeah, and I hope I remember. I didn't even look to see where they are. One is called the Ascension Ball. The Ascension Ball, and that's sponsored by two people, the New York Life and Meta Center. Meta New York, I think it's called. Meta Center. The other one is in White Plains. I know, I think it's my holistic group, the Westchester Holistic Network.
Are you going to this event tomorrow night that's being held at the Hotel Pennsylvania?
Ball,
right?
I'm going to the Ascension Ball, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a big one. I'm sure a lot of people are going to turn out for that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you.
And then Saturday, it's actually, there's another one all day from 12 to 4. It's going to be a lot of meditation. And it's actually held at a convent. So there's going to do some spiritual work on Saturday. So I'm going to choose my vibration, and I think that everyone needs to do is I want to go to my highest self and vibrate the highest good and choose to bring peace to myself and peace to other people and comfort to other people and sort of release all the things that we think we need. We need to buy all this stuff. We need to help each other. That's what I think the key is.
Right. Absolutely. Positive note as we make the transition to the fifth world. The Mayans call the fifth world. It's going to be happening just in a matter of hours from now at 11 a.m. When the Mayan calendar that everyone's been talking about, both pro and con, has generated a lot of interest and a lot of controversy, is going to come to an end. But the world will keep on spinning around, and we will be spinning around along with it. And I want to thank you, Joan. Joan Carroll.
Thank you, Michael.
In the United States, Joan can be reached, by the way, for further information. You can get to her at her website, www.psychicjoancara.com. That's www.psychicjoancara.com. We'll have to have you back soon, Joan, to prognosticate on what's going to happen in 2013. This is Mike Luckman, Radio Doomsday Live, signing off.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a